So I've noticed there's this specific sound that happens right before a light bulb pops. There's this half second where the filament realizes it's done. I've been noticing lately about how those of us living here in the US are sitting in this giant wood-paneled room, smelling smoke. More or less collectively deciding to complement the wallpaper instead of trying to find a fire extinguisher. And they tell us that the smell is just the scent of progress or some other horseshit. And yet, the floorboards are definitely starting to get soft. And the guys in charge are they're just busy stripping the copper wiring out of the walls to sell it back to us as premium infrastructure upgrades or something. So, in case you haven't noticed, the US, whether it wants to admit it or not, is currently sitting at the threshold of revolution. And it's not necessarily because everyone's looking for a fight, though some people definitely are. It's because the social contract has been liquidated to pay for a billionaire's yacht while people are foreclosing their homes to pay off medical debt. The so-called American dream has become a form of psychological gaslighting, and the machinery of the state has been replaced by a liquidation sale being run by a bunch of psychopaths who are building an army of sycophants and loyalists. And this demographic are presently immersed in the latest culture war narrative, committing egregious crimes with impunity because they've been slowly brainwashed to do the bidding of their plutocrat overlords. This isn't just a rough patch that we're going through. No. I think this is the moment that the mask slips and we realize that this machine isn't actually broken because it's doing exactly what it was built to do. And what it was built to do is to divide, exploit, extort, control, manipulate, and ultimately, just grind us down to dust. So we tend to have this belief here in the US that authoritarianism should arrive in some dramatic cinematic event. But it is now arriving in the form of a group of sociopaths who treat the Constitution like a terms of service agreement that nobody actually reads before clicking accept. And when the so-called leadership that we currently have stops pretending to follow the rules and it starts building a personal enforcement wing, which doesn't answer to we the people, you aren't in a republic anymore. You're just in a waiting room for catastrophe. And that clock is it's ticking loudly as of late. I'm sure you can hear it. Now, I don't care what your political leanings are, or even if you have any. This development that we're currently witnessing should worry anyone who's concerned about living in a highly divided nation that's controlled by a bunch of unhinged authoritarian plutocrats who, by the way, don't give a shit about you. Any of you. And if you think that the checks and balances are going to save you, unfortunately, that's just a bedtime story in this day and age. Checks and balances only work when the people holding the pens have a sense of shame. And we're currently being governed by people who they traded their shame in for a larger share of the plunder a long time ago. The smoke isn't coming from the outside. The house is being plundered by the very same people who were hired to keep the roof from leaking. And this is not a malfunction. It's a liquidation sale. And we are the inventory. So people hear the word revolution and they typically think of guys in tri-cornered hats or teenagers throwing bricks at a Starbucks or whatever. They think of chaos. But I would argue that chaos is what we're living in right now. Real chaos is watching the rights that you were provided in the U.S. Constitution being violated as law-abiding citizens are paying the price. Real chaos is having to live through this and still having to survive a collapsing system somehow. All while your tax dollars are being funneled into paying for things like genocide and coup d'etats and a private army for a guy who thinks that the Constitution is just a suggestion written in a language that he doesn't understand. This is not stability or even sanity. This is a hostage situation with brainwashing and propaganda tactics. So yeah, we've reached a threshold in the U.S. And whatever used to be the American dream is just being harvested for parts. And I think the time has come where we have to stop pretending that a fresh coat of paint is going to fix a house that doesn't even have a foundation anymore. Okay, so let's talk about the oligarchs, which is really, that's just a fancy word for a guy who owns enough of the government to ensure that he never has to follow the same rules as you and I. We have this charming little Supreme Court ruling called Citizens United, which is basically what it means is it basically decided that corporations are people and money is basically speech. That's right. And it's been immensely responsible for a lot of the problems that this country has now. It's a beautifully subversive bit of legal poetry, really. It means that if you have $5 and a billionaire has $5 billion, his speech is just louder than yours by a factor of a few billion. So he isn't talking, he's thundering through a megaphone made out of your mortgage payments. And then we wonder why the things we actually want never seem to happen. Like, I don't know, not dying in a waiting room because we can't afford the premium health package or whatever scam policy they expect us to have. It's because the people we elect aren't, they're not really representatives. They're more accurately something like middle managers. So these are the people at the front desk of a hotel owned by a corrupt private equity firm. And yeah, they can listen to your complaints about the bed bugs and offer you free continental breakfast which is really just a stale bagel and a glass of lukewarm OJ, but they sure as hell aren't going to change the owners. Because the owners are the ones who actually write the laws while also manipulating and breaking the laws. And this is known as this is known as lobbying, but in any other context, we would call this a bribe. So if I give a cop 20 bucks to ignore a red light or something, that's a crime. But if a pharmaceutical company gives a senator $1 million to ignore the fact that they're hooking the entire country on synthetic heroin, that's strategic partnership. And the taxes, this is the ultimate gaslight. So you watch a sizable chunk of your paycheck vanish every month, and you think, well, at least the roads will be fixed. And then after dodging the umpteenth pothole the size of a kiddie pool, it dawns on you that your money doesn't go to fix the roads. Not really. It goes to a defense contractor who built a missile that costs more than your entire neighborhood, which will be used to eliminate some shacks on the other side of the planet. Or better yet, it went to a subsidy for a multi-billion-dollar oil company so they can keep polluting the air that gave you lung cancer. I mean, this is like being forced to pay for the privilege of being punched in the face and then being told that you should be grateful because the guy punching you is wearing an American flag on his lapel. And then there's the way that they've rewired our brains to actually enjoy the taste of the exhaust. And what I mean by this is, so we're in the age of hustle culture, right? Which for some inexplicable reason is treated as a twisted form of spiritual enlightenment. So if you're exhausted, it couldn't possibly be because the system is extractive. It's because you didn't wake up at 4 a.m. and drink a kale smoothie and optimize your morning and or whatever. Burnout has now become moralized. And it's happening while survival is being turned into like something like a competitive sport, where the prize is just, well, you get more work, more systemic abuse. And if you feel that low-level hum of anxiety, you know, that feeling that something is definitely fundamentally wrong with the way you're living. You know what I mean? Well, they have a pill for that of course, if you can afford it. And we like to victim blame by treating depression and despair as if they're personal equipment failures rather than perfectly, you know, a perfectly sane reaction to living in a society that organizes itself around profit instead of human health and dignity. You know what this is? It's psychological gaslighting on a planetary scale. And we were promised that if we just played by their rules, we'd get the stability. And instead, we got uncertainty and gig work. And, you know, doing shit like donating plasma. So we got this privilege, some of us did anyways, of being our own bosses, which looked great at first. But then it turned out to just mean paying even more taxes while being your own taskmaster in some race to the bottom. I mean, this is where gig work has devolved into at this point. And now we're at this stage where every waking second of your life is being commodified. So your hobbies, they can't just be hobbies anymore. Now they're side hustles because you need the money. Your relaxation is now, it's just all recovery time. Your personality is personal branding because everything has to be monetized now. We aren't even people anymore. We're just like nodes in a network designed to harvest our attention and then sell it to the highest bidder. Because attention is the new currency. And the culture has been turned into a propaganda machine to fabricate culture wars. Entirely engineered for distraction and manipulation. And it's also the nonstop human rights violations that have become wrapped up within the culture war. So it's the system. It's provoking discrimination and persecution on multiple levels as a weapon of division. Because it's a hell of a lot easier to strip mine a country if the inhabitants are busy fighting each other, right? And that's exactly what they've got us doing. And we mean, we're in so deep right now. They've got us right at the edge of a civil war. So we can't even see what's really going on right now. The algorithms and the establishment, they don't want you to be informed. They do want you to be emotionally dysregulated. They want you to be angry because angry people click more. And people who are, you know, busy clicking all the time, they don't really have the time to notice that the bridge they're standing on is being sold for scrap metal. And they want you angry because your anger can be used against you in retaliation. You know, these plutocrats, they welcome a civil war because a civil war is the ultimate culture war. It's basically a violence that's misdirected at each other instead of energy that could be directed toward revolution. and systemic change. And, you know, we always hear that we're more connected than ever. But then when you actually take a look around, I mean, it's pretty obvious that we're just this nation of isolated, fearful, exhausted wage slaves in debt bondage, staring into these glowing rectangles, hoping the next notification is going to finally make us feel like we're part of something real. But unfortunately, you can't build a community out of data points or a future out of a system that views your sanity as an acceptable casualty for the sake of quarterly growth. All right, so let's talk about some things that shouldn't have a price tag, but sadly do. Like the right to keep your heart beating. So here in the U.S., healthcare is a business. It's a market. It's not about caring for your health. It's just the PR way of saying that your life is only worth what your insurance company thinks it can get away with not paying. And because we've tied insurance here in the U.S. to employment, we are tethered, which means you can't leave the job that's killing you because you need the insurance to stay alive so you can keep working the job that's killing you. That's a perfect vicious circle right there. This is the only so-called advanced nation where a cancer diagnosis can also be a bankruptcy filing. And then we wonder why a guy like Luigi showed up. So here in the U.S., we treat sickness like it's a moral failure of the poor. And we treat it like it's a profit opportunity for the rich, which it is. And this is a complete inversion of everything we claim to believe about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But, you know, is there really any liberty in a hospital bed when you're calculating the cost of the IV drip as you're drifting off? And then we have the housing crisis, where we've decided that shelter, you know, one of the three things that you actually need to not die, is it's an investment vehicle. So what we've done is we've let these private equity firms buy up entire zip codes so they can rent them back to us at prices that would make a medieval landlord blush. I mean, we've got more empty houses than homeless people and more food waste than hungry kids. But the logic of the market says, well, we can't fix that because that would be inefficient. You know, when a society reaches this point, where it's more profitable to let people suffer and die than to help them, especially in the so-called richest nation on earth, I'm pretty sure that that society has lost what little moral compass it ever had to begin with. I mean, this goes beyond just being broken. It's rot. And you can't fix rot with a fresh coat of paint. And, well, since we're out here debating whether we can afford both eggs and rent in the same week, we should probably talk about the rule of law. It sounds solid, like a bank vault or something. It's heavy enough to crush the poor and light enough to be pushed aside by the powerful. So we have a two-tier justice system here that's so blatant, it's almost performance art. If you're a kid in a bad neighborhood with a gram of the wrong plant in your possession, the system can swallow you whole and spit you out as a permanent second-class citizen. However, if you are a CEO who launders billions for a cartel or a politician who trades stocks based on classified briefings, you get a deferred prosecution agreement and maybe even a seat on a prestigious board. I don't think American justice is blind. It's just wearing a gold-plated blindfold. All right, and this brings us back to the current administration, where the people in charge are treating the law like it's just a suggestion, and they're building their own versions of it. So what we're seeing is this increasing shift from public service to personal loyalty. We've got this growing mask-wearing shadow force that doesn't wear a traditional uniform, doesn't answer to a court, doesn't honor the Constitution, and acts with a level of violence and impunity that should be deeply concerning to anyone living in this country. And this is really the final stage of institutional decay. This is where the state has just, it's just given up on trying to convince you that it's fair. And it just starts bullying you because, well, who's going to stop them? And, you know, when you see a so-called leader surrounding himself with people who are loyal to him rather than the Constitution, that's just a dictator in a power suit. That's not a president anymore. And then we have the the planet. Now, that would be the pale blue dot that we're currently strip mining while we're immersed in culture and class war. Now, look, whatever you might believe about climate or the carbon debate, let's put the politics aside and talk about the actual dirt. So environmental toxicity is a cold, hard fact. And you don't need a degree in atmospheric science to see that we're being poisoned. The air, water, our food, or what passes as food in the U.S., our products are all being saturated with chemicals that didn't exist 100 or 200 years ago. It's the chlorofluorocarbons that we pumped into the sky for decades. It's the lead in the pipes. It's the pesticides sprayed on our crops. It's the PFAS, those forever chemicals that are now in the rain and in the soil. It's the microplastics that are leaking out of every plastic bottle and container, and it's the toxic phthalates from synthetic fragrances. I mean, I could keep going. You know, we've turned the atmosphere itself into a chemical soup. And not only us, but every other living thing that breathes on this planet is inhaling a cocktail of industrial byproducts and synthetic conveniences that our bodies are not built to process. And the people in charge, they treat this ecological collapse like it's a branding problem or something. They blather on about green initiatives while continuing to prioritize quarterly growth over, you know, the basic biological reality of being alive. Imagine watching a guy set his own house on fire and then trying to sell his kids flame retardant pajamas because if there's profit to be made, they're going to make it, no matter what. If they can extract every last ounce of value out of the planet before the life support systems fail, they're going to do it. Because that's who they are. They're going to do it because they know that the bill is coming due. They just plan on being in their fortified bunkers when the collector comes knocking. So this is what I mean by a revolutionary threshold in the U.S. I'd say this is the moment when the myth finally snaps. We're just about there. I don't believe a revolution is always about burning things down. Sometimes it's just a collective refusal to believe in the lie anymore. It's just refusing participation. And I think it's the moment we realize the people at the top, they only have power as long as we, the people, all agree to pretend that their money and their titles mean more than the actual water we drink and the air that we're breathing. I think if we're going to, I think we're going to have to decommodify our attention if we want to even begin rejecting the system. Because this machine is thriving on your outrage and your distraction, and unless we stop giving it to them, nothing's going to change. We got to turn off these 24-hour shouting matches already. And we got to opt out of the algorithm. Or at least we got to find a much healthier way to interact with it. Because right now, the vast majority of us are just users with smartphones instead of crack pipes. And, you know, if they can't keep us hating each other, they can't keep us from rejecting the narrative of control and division. We're also going to need mutual aid because, look, if the government's decided that healthcare and housing and healthy food are luxuries, then we have to stop waiting for them to save us. No one is coming to save you. I think we're going to have to build parallel systems like community clinics, local food networks, smaller communities, tenant unions, and so forth. And we're going to have to, you know, well, I think we're also going to, we need a restoration of reality on a certain level. Which is to say, we got to stop using their language. Don't call it lobbying. Call it bribery, because that's what it is. Don't call it downsizing. Call it theft. You know, revolution, it isn't always a single event. Sometimes it's a million small moments where people decide to act like human beings instead of brainwashed consumers or a human capital. So that light bulb is, it's flickering, and the smoke is getting thicker, and we can keep complimenting the wallpaper if we want, and unfortunately that's probably what's going to happen. Or we can choose differently, as difficult as that would be. All right, that's all I've got today. As always, thanks for listening.